And there was much that transpired on that special night. But the worship of the Savior, of Emmanuel, of Jesus, did not end on that night. Praise the Lord. And following his birth, there were some men who came from the east with the intent to worship the one who was born King of the Jews. And they find Jesus, Emmanuel, this King of the Jews, in a house in Bethlehem. And let's go into the Bible, chapter 2. The first part of chapter 2 talks about the men coming from the east, going to Jerusalem and talking with Herod. I'm going to pick up in verse 11, and it's talking about them coming into the house. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph. And we find that Joseph then takes the warning that God gave him as well. And he took his mother, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus, and fled into Egypt. Interesting, isn't it? And he was told to be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And we find that Joseph obeyed. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that he might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. We find this event, this true event that took place here in this passage, of God calling certain individuals to come and to worship Jesus. Previously, we've talked about the shepherds who came, who was told and poured out the announcement. We have these men coming from the east, bringing gifts to this one who was born King of the Jews, and we find the events in this chapter that are around that. But today, our message is titled The Warnings of God, and we need to realize that God has poured out warnings all through His Word. And we're going to look at this event here and the warnings that go around it, because God has a special plan, and He warns us ahead of time when He, you know, and still today He does that. He gives us warnings of things to stay away from, things, directions not to go. I was thinking about this message and thinking, you know, what would happen if I got in my truck and just took off down the road and just stayed on the road, listened to the signs, went the direction that the road suggested, the speed limit that the road suggested. But if I start disobeying that, let's say I want to drive 120 around a 50-mile-an-hour curve, well, then I have to deal with the consequences of that warning. And God has done the same thing in our lives. Well, what if I want to just take off across the field? You know, I could do that. I could point my truck that direction, and I could run through somebody's fence and across their field and over their ditches, and I've had people do that in my fields. You know, so I understand. You know, we are given the ability to make those choices and decisions, but we are given warnings so that we don't make stupid decisions and stupid choices as we come in contact, and we can do those things. God's Word is the same way. His Word is full of warnings on how we should go down the road of life. So we get to look at that, and God has pointed out lots of warnings. And when I think of warning, I'm taken back to the 60s in a television show called Lost in Space. Anybody remember Lost in Space? A few of you probably do. And the one thing that always stands out when I hear warning, anybody remember the robot? and he'd shake his little arm and go, "Warning, warning," to warn them that they were, you know, this was way back there. And every time I think of that, you know, he was there and he would warn them that there was danger somewhere close. You know, and God has told us the very same thing. God has warned us that we live in a world that's got dangers all around us. And everything is not necessarily dangerous, but it can be made that way. A lot of times, it's what man chooses to do with those items or those things. Okay, our tongue is not a dangerous thing to us, but it can be a dangerous thing. It can be used that way. We look at, money is not a dangerous thing, but it can be. It can be used that way. And there's a lot of things in the world, so God has given us warnings on how to do and what to do in certain situations, in certain places. And we are wise if we hearken to what God's Word says in the things that He tells us to do. Just like we saw in this passage that I just read in Matthew. God gave warnings. And God's warnings then are to change the direction of our lives. God gives us warnings to change the direction of our lives. Why should I go a different direction? Why should I point another way? Because God knows what's in front of me. God knows what's out there, all around us. So when we look at our text, the wise men were warned of God to not go back and tell Herod, but to go back to their country another way. And the Bible says they departed into their country another way. They did not go. They had come through Jerusalem. They had come through the legal, the right way of doing things to fit the company. They came to the king of Jerusalem. They came to Herod. Ask of him, you know, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, this was a surprise to Herod. He did not know what was going on, but when he inquired, they looked to see where would the Messiah be born. He'd be born in Bethlehem, so Herod sent them to Bethlehem. And they had come through Jerusalem, they had met with Herod, and they were to return to him. But what we find here is that God warned them not to do so, because God knew, that Herod would harm the child. So God spoke to the wise man in a dream and told him not to go back and tell him, but to go home in another direction. They had come. You know, what would happen if the wise man said, "Oh, I'm not going to listen to God"? You know, you think, well, that's absurd. That's crazy. Why would they not? You know, how many times do we today not listen to God? When God warns us, God tells us something, and we don't listen to Him. It seems crazy to think that they would have done that, but mankind can and has that ability to make those choices to not listen to God's warning. But they did, and they went out of their country, into their country. They went out another way. They did not go back. So we need to learn that meeting Christ by faith changes the way we take in this life. When we meet up with Christ, what was the difference here? They came for a purpose. They came to worship the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. God had sent them. He gave them a star to follow, and the star led them to the place where Jesus was, to this house that He was in. And as they came, they presented their gifts, they worshiped Him, and they went back home. But it changed the direction of their lives. God spoke to them. God had them go a different way. And we're not given a lot of information about these men and where they came from, where they went to. There's lots of ideas and thoughts about it out there. But you know what? God gave us what He wants us to know. So here we have an obedient group of men that had come for one purpose, and that was to worship this newborn king. When we meet up with Jesus, it should change our life. Our first encounter with Jesus will change our life. But we find the warnings of God, warnings given to God, and all through the Bible, like I've mentioned, there are warnings that God has given to us. I'm going to point out two or three of these. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. God was speaking to the nation here. And this warning is God warning Israel. Israel as a nation was being warned because of what they were doing, how they were acting. And God addressed them directly. We find in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Many times we talk about this verse, we talk about it in talking about sin, we talking about it in what God has done for us as sin, but we need to realize that this is a warning from God. What is God telling us here? God is saying that the wages of sin is death. That's a warning for us. That's a warning to all of mankind. If we choose to live in sin, there is a consequence for that. If we choose to walk that way, there is a consequence. The wages of sin is death. But God has provided for that through Jesus Christ, that gift. So we find both a warning. The warning helps us to realize, wait, stop. Let's look at the situation. And then we see the answer that God has also put in that same verse. The answer to show us where we should go. It's like a detour. You come up to a roadblock, you come up to a sign, you may not know which direction to go until you get there. But you realize you don't want to go through it. So you start looking around, which way do we go now? And God has provided that for us. We come to this point when we realize that we're a sinner, we cannot keep going this direction. Where do we go from here? What we find then is God has pointed us to one direction only, and that is through and to Jesus Christ. Sorry. And then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Here we find God warning his children, those who believe in him. You know what? God disciplines us. And how many of you can say amen that God disciplines us? It's hard to think, why would God want to scourge and discipline his children? Because he loves us, it tells us right in that verse. "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receives." Why? Because he wants to lead us in the ways that are right. Left to ourselves, we'll not go that direction. So he helps us along the way. He warns us. Have you ever warned your children of danger? Have you ever warned them about a way that is not good for them? And continued disobedience, what happens? Usually there's some form of correction that comes along with that. God is the same way. God corrects us. He leads us, and he points us in the way that we should go. Why? Just like it says here, because he loves us. So we see God warning his children, we see God warning Israel, and we see God warning mankind. And there are lots and lots of warnings in the Bible. We look at Jonah, and we see his time in this great fish that he was in as a warning from God. He could have died in that fish and never come out. But God helped him to realize his condition. He knew he was doing wrong. He knew he wasn't doing what God told him to do. And therefore, God used this unique situation. But his warning that he acknowledged was to him. God was warning him. And God was telling him to go warn Nineveh. But he didn't want to go warn Nineveh. So he was battling this selfish pride in himself. And as he was doing so, God put him in a situation that made him look a little deeper into the situation he was in. And because of that, he did go and preach repentance to Nineveh. And because he did, they did repent. And for a time, Nineveh changed. We see Paul saw a warning from God on the road to Damascus. He was going to Damascus to persecute Christians. And on the way, he encountered Jesus Christ. When he cries out, Who art thou, Lord? Jesus boldly proclaims, I'm Jesus Christ, who thou persecutest. His encounter with Jesus, his encounter with God, changed his life, changed his direction. This warning to him as an individual changed the direction of his life and yours. Because then he went on to warn the rest of the world. Everybody that he came in contact with, every place that God sent him, he sent this warning to obey God. Trust in the Lord. And just like we read in Romans, the wages of sin is death came out because of Paul and God's leading him. So Paul took his warning and he took it on to the world. Has God sent you a warning today? Has God sent you as an individual a warning? A crisis, a setback, a track, a passage of Scripture, a message from His Word. Is God warning you today to not go down that road, to not make that turn, to not make that choice? You know, sometimes God's warnings are there to change the direction of our lives, just like He did with the wise men that came. He changed their direction. Just like He did with Joseph, He changed their direction. And God will sometimes change our direction, but we need to be obedient when he puts that sign in front of us, when He puts that warning up to turn here, stop, yield, whatever the sign might be. So sometimes God changes our direction with these warnings. And sometimes God's warnings are to deliver us from the destroyer. We still have one who likes to destroy today. In our text, Herod was spoken of as that he would seek the young child to destroy him. Herod was going to seek out this child, and we find out that he did do that. He sought out every child under 2 years old and had them killed. Wow. That's pretty harsh. We think about what really took place there. Think about if someone came into Ignacio and killed every child 2 years and under, and it was by law to do so. How hard would that be? You know, how would that cause us to respond? But God warned Joseph to take Jesus. Why? Because the whole incident was focused on getting rid of Jesus. The whole incident was focused on Satan trying to destroy Emmanuel, Christ. Because Herod's aim, when he talked to the wise men, was not to go worship the child, as he said. He said to the wise men, when you find the child, come and tell me so that I may go and worship the child also. Did he intend on it? No, he did not. His intent was to remove this king because he was king. And he was not going to have any child take his place. He was appointed by the Roman government. He was the king. He talked of dedication, but his intention was destruction. He came to destroy. Now, what we find is that Herod typifies Satan here. Herod is a type or a use of Satan. Because we find that Satan is as titled as well a destroyer. In John 10:10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And we find that those who live for the Lord are under this a plan of attack by the enemy to destroy in any way he can. But what we find is greater is that Jesus came to destroy the destroyer. Jesus came to destroy these works that Satan had put into motion. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." We find that the devil was wanting to stop Jesus before Jesus could stop him. And we think, wow, is that really possible? We see all along Satan trying to destroy. In this text that I just read, that he is the devil sinneth from the beginning of mankind, from the beginning of creation. We see him sinning. We see him trying to destroy mankind. We go right back to the Garden of Eden. What was his purpose? Was to stop Jesus from coming. He was trying to destroy. But God provided, and God has provided all the way up to Jesus. He's provided the line. Jesus brought that to fulfillment. And Jesus' purpose, as it points out in these scriptures, was to destroy the one who came to destroy. So we find then that God's warnings are there to deliver us from this one who is here to destroy. Not only does Jesus save us when we have him come into our life, when we accept him, but he gives us the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil. He prepares for us an armor. He prepares for us a sword, the Word of God, to be able to use. He gives us the abilities to realize that we have an enemy. He points out to Peter, we have an adversary that walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We see that Jesus told Peter that Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. It's very well known that anyone who stands for God is on a hit list by the enemy. But the thing is, we have to realize that God has protected us from that. God has given us that armor. God has given us the protection. All we have to do is accept it and use it. We have to realize that Satan has no authority in our life when we're a child of God. Can he afflict us? Can he affect us if God allows it? And sometimes God does. But the thing is, he can only do what God allows him to do. Which brings us to that verse, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." God gives us the ability to stand. And like he says, stand in Ephesians against the wiles of the devil. Stand having on the whole armor of God. We have an enemy out there, but we don't have to flee from that enemy. We have to stand. And sometimes it's easier to run, but God tells us to stand. How do we stand? In the power of his might, not in our own, not in our own strength. We cannot stand in our strength, but we can stand in his strength. So God warns us and delivers us. When God tells you you don't want to go down that path, you don't want to go down that alley, have you ever been in a city at night and you look down and you think, I'm not going down that alley. I'm not going down that path. There's a warning there. And God, as Christians, I believe God works in the Holy Spirit through us to show us, you know, you don't want to go this way. You don't want to do this way. And sometimes it's in broad daylight. You don't want to go this way. You don't want to go down that path. And God warns us that down that path is destruction. Down that path can lead you to a place of harm and hurt. So God warns us. And God also warns us, and God's warnings are directed to us in his word, to design us to be in his word the things we need to be in his word. In our text, it says that it might be fulfilled. You'll find that in the scripture several times, of events taking place, that it might be fulfilled. Because prophecy will be fulfilled. The prophecy of God's word will come to pass. As it does so, we see that fulfillment in this text that I just read. We see the fulfillment of prophecy that had been prophesied about what would take place. That it might be fulfilled, God led them in these certain directions. All of the things that Jesus would be and do that was prophesied, he had to do. He had to be. And this event took place so that Jesus would be taken to Egypt so he could be called out of Egypt. But it was a protection for him as well, and for Mary and for Joseph. So we find that God intends to bring our lives into line with the Bible. God's warnings are there to bring our lives in line with the Bible. Can God's Word line us up? Absolutely. If we follow it, if we listen to it, what does it line us up with? True north. It lines us up with God. It lines us up with where we need to go, the things that we need to do, the places we need to be in, the way we need to respond. Everything we need, God's Word is there to line us up with. God's Word is not only a roadmap, it's full of warnings as well. And God intends to bring our lives in line with the Word of God. How does He do that? How does He line us up with the Word of God? He gives us the ability to choose. What does God say? Where does God want me to go? How can He lead me the way I need to go? He talks to us. He leads us through His Word. He leads us through prayer. He lets us know. The prophecy was out of Egypt, have I called my son. God would call the Messiah out of Egypt. Now, if you had just read that in prophecy, you'd think, well, maybe he's born in Egypt, or maybe, you know, we come up with all these ideas about future prophecy. But when it happens, it's history, it's exact. This is what took place. And how it took place. Out of Egypt, he was called. Why was he called out of Egypt? Because he was taken to Egypt because Herod was going to kill him. But there came a point where God told Joseph, okay, you can go back now. He was called to come out of Egypt. Why? Because he was to be in the land that God had promised him to be in. When we think of Egypt, Egypt is a symbol in Scripture that represents the world. He was taken to Egypt. He was taken into the world. And God called Jesus out of that. Come out of the world. Come out of that symbolism that it represents here. So that the prophecy is that he came out of Egypt, came out of the world. And we know that he was in the world, but he was not of the world. The example then that we have here is God is calling his people out of the world. God is calling those who are his out of the world. I think, man, I wish he'd hurry up. You know, I'm ready to get out of this place. After a year like we just had, everybody is ready to do something different. You know, it's like, why? What a crazy world we're in. And you know, 2020 was truly a year of vision. It was a year that mankind got to see what mankind is really like. It was a year that man got to see the sinfulness and the evil that is out there, that we live around all the time. And how hard was it for people to just flip and go crazy on us? We've had a year of being able to see what man is really like. And without Christ, we would be right there. Without God's direction, without God's warnings, where would we be? We would be right in the enemy's hands, doing what he would want us to do, acting like lost, sinful man, if we did not have the Word of God and the Son of God living in us as believers. God has given us His warning. And as children of God, look what He tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. When we look in our world today, we see this, don't we? You can look out there and you can see the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are not of God. This then is a warning to us. Be careful what you watch. Be careful where you go. Be careful what you do. Can we get ensnared into these things? Yes, we can. We must be careful. We must heed the warnings of God. When God warns us, don't go there. When God warns us in our mind, don't let your mind go there. We need to hearken to Him. God's warnings are there then to direct us into the design of His Word. We can always go into God's Word and say, what does God have for me? How does God want me to deal with this situation, respond in this situation? Which way am I to turn? Sometimes we feel like we don't know which way to turn, right? But we always can know. We can go the way God leads us. And we can let Him direct us and lead us in that direction. Love not the world, it tells us. Come out of Egypt. Do not love Egypt more than you love the Lord. Do not love the things of the world more than you love the things of God. Remember that all that is in the world are these things. The flesh, the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. And these things are not of God. They're not of the Father, but they're worldly. We need to be careful. We need to hearken to the warnings of God. So God sends His warnings in different ways. The wise men and Joseph were warned in dreams. God warned them in a dream to depart to their country another way, to go into Egypt. And we see that their obedience basically saved their lives. We may be warned through circumstances or through the Word of God, as we've seen many examples today. But we need to ask ourselves, have I experienced a warning from God? Has God given me a warning? Is God showing me a warning? Is God showing you a warning? See, put a sign up in front of us saying, you know, halt, yield, stop, turn left. What is God warning us? Well, if I don't read God's Word, I don't have to worry about Him warning me, right? We need the warnings of God to be what we need to be. Because, like I read earlier, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And if we don't hearken to His warnings, we don't listen to Him, as a child of God, He'll let us go along for a little while, and then He responds. God knows what's best for us, and because He loves us, He will take care of that discipline that needs to be in our life. The question is, are you willing to allow Him to change the direction of your life? But I like the way I'm going. I like what's going on in my life. This last year, did it disrupt anybody's life? Anybody's schedule? We were going our directions, weren't we? If there's something we can learn from this past year is, subject to change without notice, right? You were going that direction, and then what happened? Wow. Everything gets thrown up in the air. And it's like, what do we do? Well, in my own life, there was one thing I had to keep reminding myself. God is in control. God knows what's going on. I can listen to the news and not believe any of it. But I can read God's word and believe all of it. There's a difference. I can listen to what man says out there, even people that I'm around, and they may not be right, but God is. God is always right, so I can always trust what God's word says. I can always trust what God tells me to do. And in doing so, I can be just like these men and follow God. Even in a wicked, evil world, well, they were in a wicked, evil world. How evil is killing all the children under 2 years old? They were in that time. You know, are you willing to let Him change the direction of your life? I don't like change. A lot of people don't like change. But you know what? Sometimes God needs to make changes in our life and lead us in other directions. And we need to listen. Is that really what He wants? There was a time I thought I was supposed to be in Africa, and God was just stepping me over a little bit to make me realize that wasn't what He really wanted. He wanted my heart. And you know, when He got that, it changed my direction. And when we give our heart to the Lord, it isn't always taking us in a weird direction, a direction maybe we think we don't want to go, but it's the way God wants us to go. And you will be the happiest in life when you're going the direction God wants you to go. When your relationship with the Lord is where it needs to be, is when you will have the happiest time in your life, the greatest joy in your life. We can do it on our own. We can try to live on our own. But when we live for the Lord and live doing it the way God wants us to do it, it is then that we look back and say, that's when I was the happiest. That's when I had the most joy. Remember that He will deliver you from the destroyer. He's there all the time. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world as a believer. Remember that God will reveal His will to you. God wants you to know Him. He wants you to know what He wants. We have a whole Bible full of God's plans, of His directives, of His future events, how He wants us to live in this present day and age. He's given us all of these things. He will reveal His will. He will teach us what we need to know. But we have to listen and we have to hearken to what He's telling us. And He will lead you into the wonderful design of His word, who He wants you to be, how He wants you to live. You think, oh, I want to do it my way. Well, you know, He will let you do it your way. But your way may bring destruction. Your way may bring pain. It may bring discipline. And I have found as a Christian, as a child of God, it's always best to do it God's way. Not because of the pain or the discipline, because it is more rewarding for me to be obedient to God than anything else. To do it His way, because I'm ultimately, He's everything. He's everything. And to not do what He wants hurts me. And we have to realize that He wants what's best for you, for me. And His love, all we have to do is look at what He did for us. And we realize how much He truly loves us. Not loved us, but loves us. Continuing to do so. I want to encourage you this morning then to hearken to the warnings of God. When God puts that warning out in front of you, when you're reading in His Word and you see these warnings of God, Some of them may bring back memories. Wow, I remember when God showed me this verse and something that happened back there. And I'm sure glad I didn't go where I was going or do what I thought I was going to do. And God led me over here. And sometimes we're in that situation, in that place of making that decision. And we can reflect back on what God has done for us in the past. That, you know what? I got to follow God. I got to do what God wants me to do because I know in my heart that it's best for me. Sometimes we don't fully understand. But the Bible doesn't tell us to live on fact. It tells us to live by faith, to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct our path. Trust Him. Those warnings are out there. Hearken to Him. And He will direct you. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank You for this message today. Thank You for giving us the warnings that we need to hearken to out here in this world, in this life today. For giving us Your Word. For giving us the fullness as believers to be able to read Your Word, to understand Your Word, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to make those turns and changes in accordance with Your will, to stand having on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Lord, I pray that as we come before You today, that You would work in our hearts. And Lord, to all who have heard Your warnings to them, all who You are giving warnings to right now, Lord, that they would respond in a way that would be pleasing to You, that You know is right for them. That they would be obedient to You and just come before Your throne and say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Lord, I pray that You would help all of us to be obedient to Your will, to Your Word. That You would strengthen us where we are weak. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of Your might. Let us live in this crazy world that we're in to bring glory and honor to You. Help us where we are weak to be strong. Help us where we have been knocked down to get up and to get back into the battle. Help us, Lord, where we are knocked off course, don't really understand where we're going or what's happening, to get focused again on You. And Lord, may You be exalted, magnified, glorified, worshiped, praised here in this place from the hearts of all who come through these doors. Help us to magnify Your love to this community and be glorified, Lord, in each one of us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. As the music plays, spend these moments with the Lord.